Good morning, and welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I am joined, as always, by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda. Articulate as always.
I woke up late.
Oh, well, we would not have known, but now that you've admitted it.
You would not have known. I got the puffy eyes and I'm not making eye contact with anybody. I usually let my butt drag around the house for about 45 minutes before I even, you know, acknowledge Dale.
Well, I sent you a reminder text this morning and responded.
Oh, I know, which is so nice of you because I'm so forgetful. We all remember that time I just forgotten. Poor Marianne.
Oh. And as a result, I'm very, I text you the day before then the morning of.
Well, because I ask you to, because it would be so awful if that ever happened again. I remember my friend Patty texted me and she's like, it was like, what? Well, I hadn't answered your text because I was slicing onions and it was like 9:38 and we go on the air at 9:30 and she's like, why aren't you on the radio? And I'm like, sucking air through a chest wound. And I thought, oh, maybe she put an old show on. So I turn on the radio and it's you and you're going, and then I add some shallots. And
I told the truth on the radio. I said, normally, I just say, what have you been cooking? And then I don't have to say anything for the whole rest of the show. But no, I was left. Anyway, I do wonder what you've been cooking.
Oh, well, okay, let's think. Okay, come on, brain.
Hey, it's fall. I made beef stew.
Oh, did you?
Because it's stew season.
Oh, that's so great. How did it turn out?
Good, but I mean, and it's not my favorite. I have a favorite beef stew.
Deep spoo.
I was making this old-fashioned beef stew recipe that had like 3 million likes, or not likes, but like five-star reviews.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is, you've made it a million times. Anybody who's made beef stew has made it a million times. And it's good. Beef stew is good.
How is it different from your favorite one, though?
Because my favorite one is a Dijon and cognac beef stew.
Oh, yeah.
You know that one?
Yep, yep. You gave me that recipe.
I am going to tell everybody that if you really want to try a spectacular beef stew, and if you hate it, it's all my fault. But you won't because it has like 10,000 five-star reviews.
No, it's delicious.
It is really delicious. And it is a recipe. It's called Dijon and cognac beef stew. It is a recipe by Regina Schrambling. It's Schrambling.
Doesn't that sound like a new tech weapon? Oh, we got our Schrambling. We're going to get them.
That's right. It also sounds like a portmanteau word for, you know, wandering around in a
in a scrambled manner.
Yeah, that's right. Scrambling and shambling all at once. Anyway, Regina, sorry we're making fun of your
No, we name. Love your beef stew.
Oh, my God, we really do. But, I, you know, beef stew is so... Any kind of stew, veg stew, any kind of stew is so easy to make. And at least in our household of two people, it you know, one pot of stew is good for three or four meals.
Yeah, so and it's really satisfying.
It's really satisfying. Yeah. It's really cheap.
It makes Dale really happy.
And it's a good crisper, empty thing.
Oh,
you know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
You can use
the vegetable hospice.
Yes, they all go in there. Whatever you want to put in there. So I'm just kind of enjoying stew weather. Stew.
So
and soup
it's got
weather.
Brandy and it has Dijon.
Oh well, the brandy and
or cognac.
Cognac and but the one that I made two nights ago was just beef stock, a little red wine. Vinegar and a little red wine, and then this was a beef stew, so I cubed up some chuck roast and dredged it in flour. They have you dredge it in just flour and pepper, and then sear it off, set it aside, make the rest of your stuff, you know. I had carrots. I didn't have any celery, but I had carrots and onions and mushrooms and potatoes.
Num.
Yeah, it's like a meal in a bowl.
Yeah, yeah, know? Exactly.
You make a little baguette or something and you're done.
Bowls before the bowls of today became popular.
Oh, yeah, which I love the bowls of today so much. I could live on those, really. but I'm only half of my household, and I'm pretty sure the other half would not want to live on the bowl.
Wants the old-fashioned bowl.
Yeah, right.
It's got gravy.
What's in that bowl? It better be oatmeal or you know, soup or something.
Well, speaking of gravy.
Yeah.
You know, I always have my segues.
Yes.
Last night I made pork tenderloin, which I think is a really undervalued cut of meat. It's so delicious. It's cheap. So often it's 2 for 1, you know, which is just great. And so I've just got them in the freezer. And I didn't know what I was going to make. And when I don't know what I'm going to make, generally I'll pull out a pork tenderloin. So I just dry it off. You know, you always do that before you're going to cook a piece of meat with a paper towel, dry it off. And then I... you know, I pretty liberally salt and pepper it. Oh, first I take a brush and I put some oil on it, some kind of neutral oil, and then salt and pepper, and I grill it. So I grilled it, and then I sent Dale down to the basement to the freezer. I'm like, find something that says gravy on it. He came up with pot roast gravy. Nobody cares if it's beef gravy with pork. Nobody cares if it's beef gravy with chicken. It's just gravy, you know.
Yeah.
So so I thawed that really fast, and then let's see. I was boiling just some chunks of potatoes so that they would go faster. Made some mashed potatoes, which were pretty lumpy because I didn't really cook the potatoes quite long enough.
Oh.
Yay. But it wasn't awful. And then I made a recipe that I saw on my friend the internet, and it was called Thanksgiving peas.
Oh, really?
And it looked interesting because it was pancetta, which in our house is bacon. I just don't have pancetta laying around. And then peas and pears.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and then some Dijon. When you said Dijon for your favorite pot roast, I thought of it. And then I had the gravy segue, so here we go. Anyway, so it's first you fry up some pancetta, but I use bacon, and the recipe says you can, so I wasn't that far off. And then you put some shallot in it, which, of course, I didn't have, and so I used red onion, which is pretty close.
Yeah.
And red onion fried up in bacon grease is really good anyway.
Yeah.
So then you put some peas in the pot, some frozen peas. But when I have frozen peas and I'm going to use them in something, I just cut a little bit of the top of the bag off, and then I run hot water in there just to thaw. And then it's just a little thing you close, so it's easy to dump the water out without the peas all coming out.
Yeah.
And I do that 2 or 3 times, and then it just takes a lot less time. Excuse me. And you chop a pear, pea-sized, and then put that in there. It said to peel the pear, but, you know, I didn't get where I am today by peeling pears. And then you put lemon juice in with your pear to keep it from browning. And there's Dijon mustard, parsley, and am I forgetting some? Pepper, not salt, pepper, because the bacon's salty. But it was okay. It's not something I would make again. I thought it would be really interesting, pears and peas, but the pears kind of got lost. The Dijon, there wasn't enough of it. I tasted it. I'm like, I don't taste any Dijon. Put more in there, and it just didn't do anything. And then the thing is, though, when you use lemon juice with green vegetables, they just turn that awful color, you know? Like, I adore green beans that are just steamed, tossed with really good olive oil and lemon juice. But then the green beans look like they've been there for a month. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
It's just so unappealing how it looks.
It's and a good, you know, lemon juice is a bleach. We used to put it on our hair.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's true. It just, so you have gray green beans and they taste delicious, but it's just, you have to close your eyes, you know? And then the only thing less appealing than gray green beans is gray peas. And it was just really an awful looking, mushy looking, horrible looking dish. And so, for just the not exciting flavor, I mean, to get past how it looked, it would have to be really delicious. Do you know what I mean? To make again. And it was just
And it wasn't.
it was just ordinary, and it was just, which is weird. You'd think with pears it would be extraordinary.
Yeah.
But
there are so many kinds of pears right now.
Yes.
It's pear season.
It's winter, and I really love pears. And I love the boring old lady thing of cottage cheese and pears. I love that too. Such a good breakfast.
Yeah. I haven't had cottage cheese in the house for a really long time.
Oh, it's such a staple in ours.
Yeah. Well, it's really good. And I always have, I mean, this time of year, I always have cherry tomatoes and pears, both of which are very good with either
cottage
of which.
Cheese.
Yeah,
yep,
exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. I had, you're talking about what you did with, had with peas, that recipe.
Mm-hmm. recipe.
yeah, funny. That's an A on the end of recipe. I had a really good thing similar to that, but delicious.
Really?
The big difference.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
At a local restaurant recently. And I put it together. It was two side dishes that I ordered and had together because, oh my God.
What were perfect. They? What were they?
Creamy polenta.
Okay.
With butter and Parmesan. And this green peas with guanciale, which is a kind of thing like it's a pork product like pancetta, but a little bit different because okay. I think it comes from maybe a different part of the animal.
Okay.
But I'm not sure exactly what the difference is, but I know what the difference is when I taste it. But anyway, it's a salty cured meat, and it was just so good. And it had other stuff in there, but it was basically a little dish of peas that came to me, and it was so good.
Well, and it sounds like with the polenta that it's a really good combination.
Oh, yeah, really good. And it had a lot, both of them had a lot of flavor that, you know, it just came to me. I don't know what the recipe was, but it was really good. I think peas and pork are a really good combination.
Yeah, peas, pork, and polenta.
Yes. We need a Q in there and we can mind our P's and Q's. Oh, my gosh.
What would it be? Quince? I don't know if that'd be delicious.
Hey, quince. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything to do with quince other than to put it in applesauce or jam.
Yeah, jam. That's the only thing I know to do with it.
Yeah, it makes really...
Yeah, I don't even know how I got this job. Well, I do. It's because I was conversational at... 9 in the morning when anybody else that you had on this show just went like I did at the beginning.
Please say something.
No, but I'm so like, cottage cheese. How is that a cooking show?
Hey, it's just a suggestion.
Yeah, yeah.
And also it's a little trip down memory lane. I remember being really grossed out by cottage cheese as a child.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the texture of it is...
Well, and I always thought maybe it was a trick because my dad was so into organ meats. And, you know, brains, we would always have to eat brains, calf brains for breakfast. Blah, and it just looked a little ever so slightly. Oh, I know. It was just.
Cruel. Oh. I'm sorry, but your dad was just cruel.
Oh, I know. It's like a Dickens novel culinarily, you know. You know, I mentioned my friend Patty.
Yes.
Well, she just texted me this morning and somebody's mowing down her blackberry patch. Isn't that sad?
Well, I mean, I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're voracious.
Yeah.
And they will swallow everything up. It reminds me of a Tom Robbins novel but about the blackberries.
We're so literary today.
I get it. I'm always, you know, in August, I'm like, don't ever touch these berry bushes.
Yeah, yeah,
and then
the
rest of the year, I'm like, get these things.
Cut them down.
Here. And you can't get rid of them, actually.
Yeah.
You can cut them down, but they'll be back.
Yeah. I remember, and these aren't so tenacious, but I remember I knew where there were six, you know, the Oregon dewberries, the native Oregon little blackberries. They are like legally dewberries and they come early. Like there's that adage, you should have a pie by the 4th of July. You know, they come real early and they're very prized. And I knew where there were six patches and I went around 1 year and five patches were gone. They were mowed down. And I got to the fifth one and a shed had fallen on it. And I am just like, really? I mean, just one of them of the five or one of the six was still alive. It was really, really something. I took it personally.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it was such a shock.
But, I had a little jar of your dewberry.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah,
it's just really
so
delicious.
Good.
And it's not a thing you can just go and say, hey, you know, at the store, I'd like a jar of dewberry jam. It just doesn't exist there. They're just too precious, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really something.
I'm very suspicious when I see a jar of that's not homemade of dewberry jam.
Yeah.
I'm very suspicious.
Yes. Yeah. They should legally have to have their little quote fingers, dewberry.
Yeah, I guess. We're talking D-E-W do.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, gross. The other would be awful. And they're just, sometimes they call them fence line berries.
Oh.
They're just those little native berries. And you find them so often along fences because they like to hang around fences and have those for structure, you know, like nature's. Well, it's not nature's, but what you find out in the wild, lattices, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I want to take a quick sec and remind everybody that, or inform everybody that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. I almost said the co-op because I'm confused this morning. And North Coast Food Web.
It's catchy.
And as you know, those are homes for two quite excellent websites, KMUN.org and NorthCoastFoodWeb.org. Check them out.
Yeah. I heard the food web, you know, they have free food boxes of food.
Yes.
For people who are in need. That's part of their online market. And I heard they got just giant donations from everybody to ramp that.
Yeah.
That,
to be able
program
to
up this winter,
the,
which is really, yeah, really something.
Trying to plug the hole in services.
Are you a mushroom picker at all?
I'm not. I'm a mushroom eater. But no, and I love wild mushrooms, but I am uneducated about them.
Oh.
And also, I'm not interested in tramping around a damp forest.
Yeah,
I'm just not. I like to watch other people do it online.
Could you see my dogs trying to sniff out a truffle? I mean, I have to cut the crusts off their sandwiches. They're such little house
They are
dogs.
Really close to the ground, though, you know. would...
No work. They're already down there.
Yeah. Right. Oh, my gosh.
Well, I also don't hunt mushrooms, and it's because I know that I learn by making mistakes. I can sew, and the reason I can sew is I put a sleeve on upside down, backwards, left versus right. You know, I've made all the mistakes, and you just can't make mistakes with mushrooms. You kill your family, you know. And so, but I will buy them from foragers who know what they're doing. And so, what, you know how I mentioned my friend Patty?
Yeah.
Well, let's just make this show about her.
Okay. It's the Patty show.
Yes, yes.
The Patty episode.
Yes, yes. She, she's an avid mushroom hunter, her and her husband. Oh, and they came back with these giant honking king boletes, which are so delicious, and they're so big. They're just such a prize, you know. It's such a great thing to have them. But do you know what she did? She made lasagna with them.
Oh.
So she stood them up like they would be grown in the forest, and she sliced them so she could get the biggest, you know, slabs of them.
Yeah.
And she used that.
Instead of noodles, you mean?
I think she used noodles and the mushrooms, but she had that layer of mushrooms in there with the noodles and then the bechamel.
What a good idea.
I think she might have used spinach too, but I'm not sure.
I've never had a wealth of
king boletes, yeah.
Well, you know, but I have a really good recipe for mushroom lasagna, and you can't beat it if you're willing to, you know, it's work.
Yeah, yeah.
Any lasagna
well,
is work,
and especially
actually.
If you use wild mushrooms, just because the water content is so extreme and you just can't have lasagna soup. I mean, you could if that was what you intended to do, but you have to be really careful about water content.
Boletes, though, are like little steaks.
Oh, they're so delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she is such an avid mushroom hunter. She can also sew. This is the Patty show, you know.
Yeah.
And so she made this giant mushroom quilt of all kinds of different mushrooms. Oh. So if you need a new friend, go make friends with Patty and then ask to see her quilt because it's really gorgeous. It's all needlepoint and everything. It's really something.
Wow.
So, but yeah, I thought that was such a good idea to not just have mushroom lasagna, but to layer them in slabs.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yum.
What's that Greek stuff that's sort of like lasagna?
It's pasticcio.
Yes, I tried making that once, and I stuffed each little ziti with asparagus.
Oh.
And so sort of the same kind of thing. I was trying to do something different.
Yeah.
And I cut it in cross section. And what it looked like is like a 14-year-old skin, like all these blackheads. It was so awful. The asparagus inside the tubes. Oh, it was so horrible and unappealing. Or like some like weird little aquatic tubular worm.
Once you got past that, was it delicious?
Oh, no, I was laughing too hard. I couldn't eat. I would choke. I would need 911's assistance.
Oh, my gosh.
It was not a good idea. That was a very bad idea.
I remember the Ina Garten episode where she made pasticcio.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Probably turned out prettier than mine.
It was, well, yeah. I mean, I don't know about yours, but it was beautiful, and it was my first introduction to pasticcio.
Okay.
But really, that kind of lasagna, any of those architected casserole things are really not so great for a family of two.
Oh, that's true.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just not the best thing, unless you just want to have that for days in a row.
Yeah, or you can make little things and freeze them, but that requires planning, and that's just not what a lot of us do.
Oh, please, and the right pans and everything.
Yeah,
no. So I think, you know, my husband loves lasagna, but he has to have it if we go out.
Because
I just don't make it. You know, even just the noodles are too long.
They're too long for two people.
You can't have, and it really is for one person because I can live without lasagna.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a pasta person, but that polenta.
Yeah.
I would be from the north of Italy if I was
yes, yes.
Italian.
We're moving, honey.
Yeah. Because we're going to polenta land. Enough of this pasta. Cool. But I, as a cook, I love pasta because it is so...
Done so fast and so easy.
And such a huge variety.
Look, honey, it's dinner.
Yeah, right.
Poof.
It's true. So it's hard not to like it from that point of view. What's going on? You're consulting your notes.
I know. I was seeing if there's anything I hadn't talked about yet because we had like 10 minutes. But I'm all out of Patty stuff.
Something will come to you. We'll talk about fish. Then something will come to you. Hey, we're moments away from Thanksgiving and we would
be remiss
to not touch on that. Do you have a plan?
You know, why am I co-host of a cooking show? Our plan is to go out.
We've made reservations. I think it's a very fine
plan. Oh, it's just so easy because then I get a vacation too.
Yeah.
But I would like to say, and I say this every year, and it's not because I don't have anything else to say, but if you are going to have Thanksgiving dinner, you can make almost everything ahead. You can get a rotisserie chicken and you can make your gravy ahead. Put it in the freezer. It freezes just fine. You can make your mashed potatoes 2 hours ahead of everything else and just leave it in the pot with the cover on it and wrap it up in 3 bath towels and just put it somewhere and it will be hot and ready when you have dinner. It's just such a time saver on the stove. And making your gravy ahead of time, that's the last thing. The turkey comes out of the oven, everybody's like at the table hungry and making noise, and then you're over sweating over the stove and whisking up gravy, and it always fails, and then you have to doctor it and try to save it, and it's just so much stress at right before you sit down to eat. Just make your gravy ahead of time. Make it easy on yourself. Make the stuff ahead of time and then just reheat it.
Yeah. Or make a reservation.
Or make a reservation.
You know what I have discovered, not just in our household, but across the board, I feel like the COVID pandemic changed so many things forever. And one of them is the way that we all do Thanksgiving. And
I don't know
as many friends who do a giant Thanksgiving anymore.
That's really true.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's that we're getting older. I think you're right that it was a change from that. And can I say another thing that isn't super food related, but if you have difficult personalities in your family, if there's people that don't get along, and if there's people that aren't good at monitoring their emotions or, you know, being socially acceptable, that making reservations somewhere, they are far more likely to behave in a public situation. And that's a solution to that problem sometimes.
Yeah.
Is just to get them out someplace where they would embarrass themselves if they misbehaved.
Yeah. On the other side of that coin, they will embarrass you also, if they do. No, I get it. Yeah, I get it. I am old enough now that I don't have relatives anymore. I have friends.
Yeah.
But I don't have family to either be embarrassed by me or for me to be embarrassed by.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I think I love the idea of going out. I don't think that we're going to go out, but we don't do a big thing for Thanksgiving. We do what we do every night that we're together at dinner time. We sit down and have dinner, whatever it is,
Yeah.
But I also think that, I mean, certainly like Memorial Day being a day of remembrance and Thanksgiving being a day of giving thanks, those are things that we tend to do every day.
Mm-hmm.
So a calendar date is not really, when I was a working girl, it used to be a day off sometimes, one of those things. But and so that was the reason to celebrate. But I think that I don't need to be reminded to be thankful. I'm ridiculously thankful all the time. I'm still alive.
And you express that a lot. It's like a really positive thing, you know, about you, but you're a very positive person. But it's one of the very positive things about you.
Yes, when I'm not ranting. But
but you always smile when you rant. It's different.
I have a little, have you ever roasted one of those little like sugar something, the pie pumpkins?
Oh, yes, but only to get it ready to make pie with it.
Okay. Well, I have one on my counter and I want to just roast it and maybe stuff the halves, like do it like a roast, like a stuffed squash.
Okay, that's a really good idea. I bet it'd be delicious.
Yeah, and it's a nice, it's a small family size, you know, it's not a big pumpkin, but I've been craving sausages and peppers, and I think that would be good in a roasted pumpkin.
That's a great idea, and I think that kind of pumpkin is really delicious.
Yeah, I think so too. So I'm really, I'm looking forward to that, and it's sitting on my kitchen counter looking pretty right now.
Do you think you'd roast it like face down or face up?
I always
roast because you're stuffing it, I suppose it would be face
up. Well, but I think you have to, I mean, I think I would pre-roast it a little bit.
Okay.
And I almost always do it face down. What do you do?
I do too, but remember that I read that thing recently about, it was that Justine Durand, where she spreads her pumpkin puree out on a sheet pan pretty thinly, and then she roasts it before she uses it. So I wonder if it would make it less watery if you roasted it the side up, you know?
Probably.
Because it's not like steaming it like you do a squash. I think, and I really like when sweet potato is so close to pumpkin, you know, when I roast that, I always cube it up pretty small, toss it in oil, salt, and pepper, and then I roast it pretty high until I get those little black corners on it, and I like that too, so I might roast it face up.
Yeah, I'll try that.
Well, uh-oh.
No, I will. And I was going to pre-roast pre-roast for about half the time while I'm making stuffing.
Yeah.
And then fill it up and finish it.
Yep, that's a good idea.
I'll get back to you on that.
Woohoo!
But I'm looking at, it's November. It's time to roast stuff.
Yep.
Gosh. And we have a ton of kinds of squash right now and kinds of pears and kinds of citrus.
It's so pretty, the squash display at the co-op. It's just such a gorgeous still life of a painting, you know?
It
really is, because most stores, they just jumble them all together, which is just fine, you know, but they've got them all separated, and it's just
they're
like
gorgeous.
It's like how pretty an assembled salad is, composed salad, compared to, you know, just a tossed salad, you know?
Yeah,
I know. It's so pretty to look at. They're just so colorful and gorgeous.
Yes. And the same thing with citrus right now and apples.
Oh, yeah.
There's gazillion kinds of all of that stuff. It is very inspirational.
I remember the Kishus didn't come into stores until after Christmas last year. I'm hoping they come earlier this year.
Oh.
Those little teeny tiny mandarins that you turned me on to, they're so delicious.
They're really candy in a citrus rind.
Yeah, they really are.
You just peel them and eat them. Don't do anything else. Anything else you did do to them would just be ridiculous. I fear that we are about out of time, so I just want to wish you and everybody a happy Thanksgiving.
I'm thankful for you.
Me to you, and all of you, and KMUN, and all the things.
All the things and stuff.
Yeah, that's right. You know, all the everything. Fill in your own blanks. It's a good time to remember that we're lucky.
Yeah.
We're lucky.
Because we are.
You want to sing us out?
Sure. I'm driving my vegetable, I'm driving my green edibles, I'm driving my vegetables around. I am driving my broccoli, my Fibonacci broccoli. I'm driving a bushel of corn home. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Gobble, 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 gobble.
Thank you,
Linda. I am thankful for you. Thank you so much for listening.
Stay tuned for Lost Highways.